The easiest move is from the content of thinkingness to the witness of thinkingness. It doesn't take any great genius. How do you know what you're thinking? Somebody complains that their thinking is driving them crazy, and I say, well, how do you know that? Well, because I experience it. Well, so then you're not the thoughts, you're the experiencer of the thoughts, or you wouldn't be complaining. The thoughts are not complaining. The thoughts are not saying, help, help, help. No, it's the experiencer of the thoughts. So you see, I am the experiencer of the thoughts. And how do you know what thoughts you're experiencing? Because you're witnessing them. You're registering them. So you can move out of identification with the content of consciousness, the thinkingness, to be the watcher, the witness, the experiencer. And that already takes you one step out of it. So you're no longer the victim of it, you're the witness of it. You're not in the accident, you're a bystander. So you move from being in the accident to be the bystander of the accident. You're the witness of the tragedy. You're the witness of the thinkingness. You're the witness of the self-blame. And so with a little meditation, a little contemplation, it's easy to realize that that which you really are is the experiencer witness. You're the experiencer witness. You're not what is being witnessed. You're not the picture on the wall, obviously. And you can't be the memory because what you're thinking about was yesterday and today is today. So unless you could also be in yesterday and today at the same time, obviously that which you are is the witness of the thoughts. What we complain about is the experience. So then we move to the feelings. So we are not our thoughts. We're not the mind. The next move is to move out of the feelings. We talked before about feelings, how feelings are a way of feeding on oneself. The ego feeds on indignation, it feeds on self-pity. So you watch the mind and you see that I'm not the content of the thoughts. Well, what about the feelings that goes with them? You look at the feelings and you'll see that these feelings are feeding off themselves. If you're strictly honest with yourself, you realize that you're getting a lot out of being the victim. You're getting a lot out of being the wronged one. You're getting a lot out of being the misunderstood one. Now, you have to be willing to surrender the payoff. You have to be willing to surrender the juice you get out of being the victim, the wronged one, the misunderstood one, the neglected one, the abused one. And when you let go of what you're getting out of victimhood and pain and suffering, and righteousness, and all these payoffs. So the way to escape from the feelingness is the payoff that one gets out of them. Am I willing to surrender the payoff I'm getting out of this? And is my love and devotion to God greater than my self-victimization? So you begin to see that you're not the victim of anything out there, that all victimization is a self-victimization. Even if you are in the viewpoint of the world, let's say, the victim of an accident. Well, the pain and suffering you get out of the accident is sort of a byproduct of the ego. Let's say you lose a finger in an accident. Well, one can immerse oneself in anger, rage, indignation, self-pity, or one can just totally surrender it to God and say, I don't know what it means or why it happened. And it may be some time before you get the realization of the karmic setup for that to happen. But as you see it, once you get what it is, then it's an all right. It's an okayness. So suffering, a great deal of suffering, comes is really the consequence of spiritual ignorance. As we said, that all the great avatars have said that the basic problem with being human is really profound ignorance. So spiritual research and consciousness research is designed to overcome that ignorance about ourself, about the human condition, about the nature of consciousness itself, about spiritual reality, and then utilizing that knowledge, free ourselves from the fetters that have bound us through all these lifetimes, or we would have all become Buddhas already. So a lot of people say, you know, I don't have time to meditate. And that's why I favor contemplation, because contemplation continues all the time, everywhere. It eventually becomes a habit, a way of being in the world, in which you really don't cling to anything. If the movie starts, it starts, and if it doesn't, you do something else. So this not being at the effect of the world, not being at the effect of the mind, if you become more and more merged and identified with the field in which all the phenomena are occurring, then you become more and more independent of the content of life. You can sit in the field and meditate, or you can sit in the movie and ignore the movie and meditate. Somebody can have the TV on and you completely ignore it. So one's inner state then is independent, and it's a matter of choice. You can either watch the movie or not watch the movie. One can either become involved in it or detached from it. But that's volitional, and the average person, that's not volitional. They have to change the channel because they're at the effect of the channel. So to transcend the identification with the content of consciousness is the fastest way to a state in which you let everything go as it arises. So this takes us back to intentionality. The intention, then, of devotion to God means the willingness to surrender willfulness to God. So at all times, we're always surrendering willfulness. As we said, the juice we get out of the ego is coming out of the willfulness to juice the ego. When you let go of that willfulness to pull all the juice you can out of it, then it stops. When you don't get any satisfaction out of it, we surrender the will. So the fastest way to God, of course, and the one, let's say, Ramana Maharshi and spiritual teachers such as that, said you can either follow a lifetime of spiritual techniques and meditation and things like that, or you can surrender to God at great depth. So to surrender at God at great depth can take a split second. But to arrive at that split second can take lifetimes of agony and suffering. However, spiritual information then shortens the period of time that it takes to get there. To wait for that moment to arrive spontaneously may take, as the Buddha said, eons of time. With spiritual preparation, then, to have heard certain spiritual truth shortens that time dramatically. Now at least one is aware of what the problem is. The persistence in willfulness, then, is what precludes enlightenment. That and that alone. One single thing, the insistence on what I want, what I desire, how I see it. So the personal I and its imperatives are always standing in the way.